Hello and a warm welcome to Radio Prague. My name is Ian Willoughby. We start the programme with the news. The European Parliament has passed a resolution calling for the removal of a pig farm from the site of a Nazi concentration camp near the South Bohemian village of Leti. Over 1,200 Czech Romanis were interned there in 1942 before being sent to Auschwitz. Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek said on Friday he would be in favour of removing the pig farm, while President Václav Klaus said it was a matter for the Czech Republic, not the EU. Mr. Klaus said most MEPs did not have enough information about the issue. Meanwhile, the President of the European Parliament, Josep Borrell, has defended two leading MEPs who recently criticised the Czech President for his opposition to the European Constitution. Mr. Klaus called for an apology after Aleo Vidal-Quadras and Joe Linen said he was misleading Czech voters on the issue and could lead the Czech Republic into isolation. On Friday, the Czech president refused to react to Mr. Borrell's statement, saying it was an insufficient response to a letter of complaint he had sent to the president of the European Parliament. The Czech Republic is to provide 4.5 million Czech crowns, or almost $200,000, towards the renewal of a national park in Chile, which was badly damaged in a forest fire started accidentally by a Czech tourist. Over 11,000 hectares of the Torres del Paine Park were destroyed in February's fire. The Chilean authorities say it will take more than $7 million and over a decade to repair the damage. Students of Prague's Charles University are planning to protest in May against increases in the cost of halls of residence, Pravo reported on Friday. The current monthly rent of around 1,000 Czech crowns, just over $40, is set to at least double due to a change in the grant system. The students are planning to demonstrate at both the Office of the Government and the Education Ministry and will call for the resignation of Minister Petra Buzková, said the Daily. The Czech ice hockey team have left for Vienna, where they're hoping to win the Sports World Championships for the first time in 4 years. The Czechs were beaten 2-1 by Canada in their last warm-up game in Prague on Thursday evening. Their first match at the World Championships is against Switzerland on Sunday. And the weather? Temperatures are set to rise markedly, with highs of up to 27 degrees Celsius due at the beginning of next week. There should be sunny spells in many parts of the country. My name is Ian Willoughby. That's the end of the news.
Thanks for tuning in to Radio Prague. Coming up next, our weekly magazine, Inside Central Europe. Don't forget that on some of our times and frequencies over the weekend, you can also hear our traditional Saturday programs. For details of precise times and frequencies, please send for a brochure at Radio Prague, English section, 12099 Prague 2, Czech Republic. Hello and welcome to Inside Central Europe with stories from Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, Slovenia and the Czech Republic. I'm Dita Asiedu and this week it's been 1 year since the post-communist countries of Central Europe joined the European Union. Have their expectations been met? We look at how they have fared over the last 12 months. But first, here's David Vaughan with the news.
The Polish Catholic Church has called for an investigation into accusations that one of its priests spied on Pope John Paul for the communist-era secret police. The Polish institute that oversees former communist files said that Father Konrad Hejmo had informed on the Pope in the Vatican during the 1980s. Father Hejmo insists that he never knowingly cooperated with the secret police. A series of opinion polls have shown strong support for the European Union in Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic and Slovakia, 1 year after their entry. Support varies between 70% in the Czech Republic and 83% in Slovakia, far higher than in referenda that were held before they joined the Union. The European Parliament has adopted a resolution committing the EU to do more for the Roma minority. The resolution, which is not binding, sets out steps to promote integration and fight discrimination against Europe's largest ethnic minority. The resolution also calls for a pig farm on the site of a World War II Roma internment camp in the Czech Republic to be removed. The Czech Republic has a new prime minister, ending a prolonged political crisis. The new government is headed by Social Democrat Jiří Paroubek and is little changed from the previous cabinet led by Stanislav Gross, who resigned after a dispute over his personal finances. The new government will have to survive a parliamentary vote of confidence in the next 30 days and hopes to lead the Czech Republic into elections in mid-2006. Four people were detained in Budapest on Tuesday after triggering a radioactive contamination scare near the Hungarian parliament. The incident occurred during a demonstration by Hungarian and Russian activists against the export of nuclear waste to the Urals. The police cordoned off part of the square around Parliament, fearing that the demonstrators may have radioactive materials. The fears later proved unfounded.
Thanks, David. On May 1, 2004, Slovakia, Hungary, Poland, Slovenia, the Czech Republic and five other European countries joined the European Union. But after years of preparation, Central Europeans met EU membership with cautious optimism, unsure of how EU accession would affect their everyday lives. A year on, we asked some of them to share their experiences.
I think it will at least take 20 years until we reach the standard of Western European countries.
It's much easier to go abroad. You don't have to carry a passport. You can go everywhere. I see, for example, more tourists from other countries on Chmielna or Nowy Świat.
If you have a job, there's a good chance of improving your living standard.
In my opinion, very few things have actually changed. Because mentally we are still not the part of it. We don't see, don't feel any signs coming from the old members of the European Union that we are actually in one big family.
Working as a civil servant, I can say that since last year the administration has definitely expanded, partly too much.
A few voices on EU membership. One main fear that most Central Europeans had a year ago was that prices would go up while salaries would remain the same. Economists in Slovakia forecast lower prices for electronic goods, but higher prices in necessities like foodstuffs. Katarína Richterová from Radio Slovakia International found out whether they were proved right.
Exactly 1 year ago, sugar and rice disappeared from supermarket shelves in the last days before Slovakia joined the European Union. Analysts predicted a 5 to 20% increase in their price because, as of May 1, 2004, these products would be affected by the Union's common market policy, protecting EU farmers. "We're selling much more rice than normal," confirmed the spokesperson of one of the leading Slovak hypermarkets towards the end of April 2004. When we spoke to people at the time, the prospect of prices rising sky high was one of their biggest fears.
I am a little bit skeptical, especially as for the prices of food and flat and everything.
The ordinary citizens will be disadvantaged by the higher prices.
I think that it will take a long time when Slovakia reaches the West European standard of living.
Now, 1 year later, we can confront the myths about the union with the facts. Marek Gabriš, macroeconomic analyst for the CSOB Bank, comments on the development of prices.
1 year after, we could say that there were no catastrophic scenario during 2004. Consumer prices rose by 5.9% in 2004 and 7.5% on average during the whole year 2004. We can say that the inflation development in 2004 was very favorable. People also expected a rise in foodstuff prices, but this expectation was not fulfilled.
As Gabriš states, there are several explanations why the increase in prices didn't occur.
One is stronger koruna or better exchange exchange rate development and also higher competition in the retail sector, which could be named as the war of hypermarkets.
Which for consumers is certainly good news. However, just as some hypermarkets are only settling down in Slovakia, some of the renowned ones are announcing their withdrawal from the market for exactly this same reason. As for 2004, the biggest influence on inflation was, in more than 80% of the cases, caused by administrative measures taken.
Especially regulated prices increase and changes in value-added tax, and in May also the increase in consumption taxes, especially tobacco taxes.
Certainly for many a very noticeable change. Prices of tobacco products have risen by more than 6% as of May 1, 2004. This is not the result of the country's entry into the EU, but the implementation of the new flat tax rate on the products. Looking into the future, food products are not among those most threatened with price increases, says Marek Gabriš, macroeconomic analyst from the CSOB Bank.
Most in danger are prices of oil, which could impact also on the Central European economies.
Just as rumors about sudden price rises spread around Slovakia last year, this year Slovaks talk about the country's entry into the Eurozone, fearing that this too could put pressure on prices. However, analysts say there is nothing to be afraid of. Marek Gabriš.
I don't think that there could be any huge impact that could negatively affect prices in Slovakia after the euro adoption in Slovak Republic.
Although most prices didn't go up, rice and sugar are among the few products that are now more expensive, rice costing around 50% and sugar 10% more than last year. Experts estimate that prices in Slovakia for 2005 should increase by approximately 3%, the lowest inflation rate in the country's history.
Katarína Richterová reporting from Bratislava. But it's not just prices that have been relatively stable. Salaries, too, have remained the same, despite the fact that with the liberalization of labor market restraints, skilled workers could earn significantly more in the Western EU member states. Has Central Europe's fear of the brain drain become reality? Well, it appears that skilled workers have not been too keen to leave home. Except for Poland, that is, where the country, which is struggling with 19% unemployment, has welcomed the free labour market in Ireland, Sweden, and especially in the UK. Radio Polonia Sławek Szewc reports.
Does this sound send shivers down your spine? Well, what is torture to some may be a gateway to professional success and family security to others. Britain's National Health Service has decided to employ some 200 dentists from Poland to fill the gap in some areas where specialists have not been widely available. Mark Stonard from the Great Yarmouth PCT thus explains the reasons for targeting Poland.
Poland is a new EU country, so it's relatively easy to recruit professionals from Poland to come and work in England. And secondly, because there is, as I understand it, a surplus of dentists in Poland who are willing to come and work here, who are very well qualified, very experienced, and fit in very well here, are very well liked by patients. So really, Poland was an obvious place to look to.
Dr. Katarzyna Zatoń is one of the Polish dentists who found employment in Britain under the NHS scheme. What motivated her to try her luck in the UK?
First of all, financial reasons, and also unemployment in Poland, because my husband couldn't find work in Poland and he was already working in Ireland.
Dr. Zaton's work isn't any different in the Norfolk area than it had been back in Poland. However, these similarities end when it comes to remuneration. On the average, dentists in the UK earn 4 to 6 times as much as their colleagues in Poland. Does this find reflection in their work? Are British employers satisfied with the Poles' performance? Carol Plummer of the Bradwell Medical Centre.
It is excellent. They're highly skilled, highly qualified, caring people who do a great job. We have 6 Polish dentists in situ at the moment. All the patients, the reaction from all patients is most favourable. They're very, very happy with the professionalism of Polish dentists.
Not the only ones sought by employers on the British labour market. Besides highly qualified professionals, skilled workers are also scouted for. Robert Ofshane from the London-based RS Construction Company is looking for hard-working, dedicated Poles.
now there's lots of people which are taking courses and they are taking the plumbing and the electrician courses, because if you want to be electrician or plumber here, you have to have the course, and then for example plumbers, they have to be, you know, Corgi registered, etc. And they are taking such a courses, and then they are learning, and are always more happy to employ Polish people than English.
So, judging by Polish and British experience 1 year after EU enlargement, the free flow of labor is not only an empty phrase nor ill concept. People know what's best, and if they do, so should their governments. For Inside Central Europe, I'm Sławek Szewc in Warsaw.
And if you'd like to hear any of these stories again, go to our website at www.incentraleurope.com. You'll find text and audio of all these stories. Inside Central Europe is a co-production from Radio Polonia, Radio Prague, Radio Slovakia International, Radio Budapest and Radio Slovenia International. In a moment, we look at how Brussels fears Czechs will throw a spanner in the works of a landmark EU plan. And we'll also find out how Slovenia is coping with its long border with Croatia, as the EU puts accession talks with Zagreb on hold. But first, the EU's CAP, or Common Agriculture Policy, has caused many a Central European farmer headaches in the last year on issues ranging from production quotas to direct subsidies. In Hungary, where up to 7% of the country's population of 10 million are trying to earn a living from agriculture, the agri-food sector had high expectations from EU membership. Radio Budapest Georgi Jacobi asked Dr. Laszlo Vajda from the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development what impact accession has made on the lives of Hungary's farmers.
The first year brought several advantages. For example, like opening the markets of the other member states for the Hungarian products. And also Hungary is now a beneficiary of the different EU support measures. On the other hand, there were some negative aspects in the first year as well, because mainly due to administrative difficulties, the EU subsidies didn't arrive to the farmers in the expected time. And that caused some problems in their economic activities. Also, on the negative side, we can mention that there was a very high demand in Hungary for cereal intervention in the year 2004. And again, we were not fully prepared with warehouses and with the necessary administrative capacity for buying in so many million tons of cereals for intervention. But all in all, we can say that farmers are now happy and they try to adjust to the new requirements of the single market and make best use of those subsidies which are available under the Common Agricultural Policy.
Dr. Laszlo Vajda from the Hungarian Agriculture Ministry on the pros and cons of EU enlargement. Bulgaria and Romania will be next to join the EU, and discussion is underway on whether and when Croatia and Turkey ought to begin accession talks. But before that, Brussels hopes to adopt its very first constitution to strengthen its foundations before taking in new members, a plan that can only be put into action after the constitution is ratified by all 25 member states. Just under a month from now, the whole of Europe will be watching France, where a crucial referendum is being held on the constitution. Slovenia and Hungary have already given it the green light. Slovakia and Poland have yet to do so. But one country that Brussels fears could stand in the way is the Czech Republic, where the country's conservative president, Václav Klaus, has already come out strongly against ratification. Czechs are due to hold a referendum on the issue next year. But is Mr. Klaus's opposition in tune with public feeling, and will it have an impact on voting? Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby looks into that.
Považujeme návrh Evropské ústavy nebo Evropskou ústavu za skutečně revoluční dokument, který mění svět, který mění...
Czech Evropu. President Václav Klaus describes the European Constitution as a revolutionary document which will change the lives of all Europeans, with the implication for the worse. Mr. Klaus's stance against the Constitution has been making headlines recently, after a Spanish vice president of the European Parliament accused him of misleading and lying to voters, and said his Euroscepticism could lead Czechs to isolation.
Our president expresses a very Eurosceptic view of the Constitution, and I know of no other head of state, European state, member of the European Union, with similar views,
says Jan Kavan, a former Czech foreign minister and member of the governing Social Democrats. The question is, are the Czech people likely to heed Mr. Klaus's call to reject the European Constitution? Three quarters of Czech voters said yes to joining the EU, and even supporters of Mr. Klaus's party, the Civic Democrats, tend to be generally pro-European. Civic Democrat, Foreign Affairs spokesman and MEP Jan Zahradil says that's true, but he draws a distinction.
It is true, but to be pro-European doesn't mean automatically to be pro-constitutional. Pro-European means, in my opinion, to be in favor of the membership in the European Union, which we were and we still are, to be in favor of removal of barriers in trade, movement of people, of labor, of goods and everything, but it doesn't mean automatically that we should be in favor of building some European superstate. So we do believe that we will be able to explain to the people that to be anti-constitutional doesn't mean to be anti-European. These are two different things, different matters, different issues.
The Civic Democrats and party founder President Klaus will be trying to get that message across to voters when real campaigning starts. But former Foreign Minister Jan Kavan still believes if other countries vote for ratification, the Czechs won't want to set the whole project back.
If the vote in France on 29th of May is yes, and in particular if the people of the United Kingdom will vote yes, I would be very, very surprised if the Czech Republic, voting almost towards the end of all member countries, will vote no. I think that if the major countries would say yes, then we will say yes, and I very much hope that this will be the case.
Social Democrat MP and former Czech Foreign Minister Jan Kavan ending that report by Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. Central Europe's accession to the EU has also brought calls for new and more coordinated border controls with eastern neighbours. Poland has just been chosen to house the European Union's Control Agency for External Borders, which will monitor how EU states patrol the bloc's external borders. Slovenia, which shares its border with EU hopeful Croatia and thereby controls an important stretch of the EU's border, was disappointed at not being chosen to house the new agency. Ksenija Samardžija Matul from Radio Slovenia International on Slovenia's disputed border problem.
Slovenia will oversee an important stretch of the future EU external border, and according to Interior Minister Dragutin Mate, Slovenia is successfully preparing for the implementation of Schengen standards on the southern border in terms of staff and in meeting material requirements. I asked Milita Močnik of the State Border and Foreigners section in the Uniform Police what the experience along the borders are 1 year after Slovenia's EU accession.
It has to be said that Slovene police started its preparation towards EU full membership back in 1998, and we believe that, and according to our experiences in the last year, we believe that we were quite successful. There were no major problems recorded after 1st of May last year, and also reactions and comments from other EU members, especially from police structures, were quite positive.
Is there enough staff in the Slovenian police, and if not, how will this problem be solved?
Well, at the moment, we still have 1,270 free so-called Schengen working posts. Two classes of candidates for police workers are right now undergoing educational process. For other, we will probably transfer some of the personnel from future Schengen internal border to external border.
And what are the safety conditions at the southern border? It is known that illegal migrations are a problem at the southern border. Organized crime has been on the increase.
Yes. The so-called Balkan route is one of the most endangered transit routes towards EU. The situation right now is quite stable, but we have some increase of illegal border crossing in the first 3 months of this year for 23%.
And does the Slovenian police receive any professional or other help from other EU members in securing the external EU border?
Yes, especially there were and still are activities in education, and also we received from so-called Schengen Facility Funds from EU some financial means for purchase of technical equipment needed. And on the other side, we have some experiences also on so-called on the post best practice experiences shared, meaning that we had already two joint operations at the external borders where also police workers from other member states were involved in work of our police forces.
Police officers in Slovenia are to start fully enforcing the Schengen standards by the end of 2007. For Inside Central Europe, this is Ksenia Samardzija-Matul.
And that's it for another Inside Central Europe, a co-production by Radio Polonia, Radio Budapest, Radio Slovakia International, Radio Prague and Radio Slovenia International. We hope you enjoyed the program. If you'd like to hear any of these stories again or find out more about the ICE team, check out our website at www.incentraleurope.com. I'm Dita Asiedu. Join us and the rest of the team next week for another ICE special as we celebrate the 60th anniversary of the end of the Second World War.
Thank you.